Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and San Francisco's Blasian beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. This is episode 82. And I am your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
Oh, you guys, we're coming off of a big weekend for both of us.
Yeah, it's a girl Labor Day weekend, 3-day weekend. Thank God for it.
Pearl also spent all weekend at Comic-Con,
I spent all weekend in Comic-Con, except for Monday. I kept Monday to myself, which was lovely.
And I worked at Lookout on Monday, so it was lovely because I need work.
I like that. On top of that, I also, I've already started training at HSF.
Yes, you did. I saw it. You guys, Pearl is officially one of the hoes of Asia SF.
I am officially an Asia SF girl.
So congratulations on that, Perliqua. How was it? What was Asia SF like for you?
I really enjoyed it. It was nice having coworkers who, I can relate with on so many deeper things than just, you know, being in the same community and just being LGBT. Being trans specifically and having dealt with, the same issues with dealing with other people and having to deal with working in an environment where you'll have to possibly come across people who may become a situation later on. And
a situation meaning, because they're inquisitive or...
Whichever.
Okay. Pearl's, holding onto her purse like I'm about to run out of here with it, bitch.
Girl, you never know.
Put it down.
You don't trust people nowadays, girl.
Oh, my God. Whatever. She's, sitting here. I'm just waiting for her to start jingling something on it. By the way, speaking of jingling things, you left your artwork from Lexi Rayford. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. Pearl don't actually listen to our podcast, y'all. So she wouldn't... Pearl just went, She goes, the bitch knew that she was caught.
I do listen to... I never listen to the whole thing. I usually start listening to it, and then somewhere in my workday, I have to turn it off because...
Well, if she listened to even the beginning of it last time, she would know that she was crunching and munching and making all kinds of rustling.
I heard all that, and girl, you added to it.
I sure did, bitch.
Whatever. And adding hungry, hungry hippos is not nice.
our listener, Alex Turley, tagged us and said, girl, Pollo Del Mar just added hungry, hungry hippos jingle to this episode.
Right.
I sure did.
Twice, bitch.
Because she kept going back in that damn bag. Anyway, so you get to relate to these girls on the level of being trans is what you're saying about
Asia SF. Sharing the trans experience and having a workspace where we're where we're supposed to be celebrated anyway. And kind of just enjoying that together is really, really nice.
So what is the process of training at Asia SF like?
Girl, they throw you, so you have to be in heels when you're on the floor. And then they kind of just throw you in it. You just have to follow the other girls around, and they kind of show you what they do. For the most part, I don't have to deal with food, which is nice.
Do some of the girls serve food?
No, but there are some cis women who deal with food.
Okay.
I don't know what their positions are or anything yet, just because I don't even really know those people that much. Most of the coworkers I interact with are either management or the other girls.
In the show.
Mm-hmm.
The other show girls.
And this Wednesday, actually, I will be rehearsing with a choreographer, Ronnie Reddick, to work on my first number.
Oh, wonderful.
Which will be so much fun. I can't wait.
That is great. So, congratulations, Pearl. How was how was...
Comic-Con was amazing.
Yeah, I saw all your photos of all your different looks, your different Storm looks.
I only did one Storm look.
You did the one Storm look, and what was the one with red hair?
I didn't do red hair.
Wait a minute. What color was your hair? Like a curly hair?
It was my natural hair.
But what was that look?
That look... So I did Jubilee from X-Men, Jubilation Lee, for anyone who's familiar with Marvel or X-Men or any of that. And then on the last day, I did like a punk Storm, which was a lot of fun, very well received. I even got free artwork by one of the vendors just because they saw me and really loved the look. They
were like, oh, very cool.
Awesome. The artwork there is amazing. I picked up 3 pieces myself by a few different people. There's so many amazing things that they do at Comic-Con. Like, they have different panels. I didn't go to one of these, but they have speed dating for both straight people and people that are LGBTQ identified.
That's cool.
It's amazing. And they have, if you're new to cosplay and you want to get into cosplay, they have panels that talk about, like... your cosplay together.
Yeah, I'd be... well, that's more intriguing to me than most of the things I think would be.
That was one of the first things I decided I wanted to sign up for. It was a lot of fun. I didn't get to meet any celebrities that I wanted to meet just because you had to pay for all of them. And I didn't mind paying for the ones I wanted to meet, but I wanted at least a photograph with some of the ones I wanted to meet. And some of them would not let you take photographs.
Say what? I thought that you paid the money so you could get a photograph of them.
For some of them, yes, but you also have to pay just for an autograph.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that is how these people... So, you know, I'm not really that familiar with Comic-Con, but I will say that there's a lot of... Like, there's a such thing as a WrestleCon, where, it's wrestling, and there's, like, all these famous wrestlers or not yet famous wrestlers or whatever, people who love wrestling, and you always have to pay for a meet
photos,
and greet.
Yeah,
it's typical.
I will say, though, that...
I think you have to do it at DragCon, too, bitch.
You do. Speaking of which, I've never been to DragCon, so, you know, this is just me kind of thinking of what it may be like. But everyone at Comic-Con is so, so nice. Like, you just get compliments, and people are so sweet, and... Very polite. Somehow I don't see drag queens at DragCon being... Like, I don't see them being malicious, but I don't see them being as friendly as all these people at Comic-Con just because they're so...
I bet they're more competitive, like...
At DragCon?
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Because I...
Completely. I was pulled aside by other cosplayers who just wanted to get a picture with me in my outfit. I don't see drag queens doing that with me, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see them pulling me aside, oh my god, I live for your paint, or oh my god, I live for your whatever, and let me take a picture with you.
Well, I think the difference could be that at a Comic-Con or something like this, like, most of the people are there representing some kind of a character that other people may, like, oh, I love that character too, like, you know, let's get a picture. Versus, like, the reason that I didn't want to go to the very first DragCon, I'm hoping it continues to evolve and change, is early on, the only thing I could think of is that DragCon was going to be 1,000 drag queens who all think that by showing up and paying some ridiculous amount of money, they're going to suddenly catch the eye of, like, World of Wonder, like, you're the one we want on season 11 is the winner, you know, like, and I just am not down for that. I do think that for next year's DragCon in California, we will look to possibly go and set up a booth and stuff like that. I think that we should do that. You know, DragCon New York City is coming up soon, and that I'm sure will be wonderful. I know that actually our friend of the podcast, Melina, the famous professional WWE, former WWE Divas champion and iconic women's wrestler, she is going to be there. She goes to all of these because she is... also a huge cosplayer, so she likes to enjoy the elements of cosplay and the drag and all this stuff. I think that there's probably, with the drag world, like, you see it.
Oh, girl. She's not on silent today. Somebody from Concord calling y'all, my bad.
So, I wouldn't even admit if somebody from Concord called me.
But I bet she was a telemarketer, girl. I've been getting these fucking telemarketing calls. Side note, it also was really cool to see people from the LGBT community that I knew that showed up at Comic-Con. That was a lot of fun. Like, I saw Joey Heel.
Oh, Crafty Doe.
I saw a friend of mine, Jorge forget your last name, boo.
They must be good friends, because she don't know his last name.
Girl, I don't even... Sometimes I don't think I know your last name, but...
Hello, Del Mar.
Right. Right. Speaking of drag queens, Kai Kai B. Michaels was there, but I had just missed her.
Kai Kai is like... she sounds shady, but I think that I place her closer to cosplay than drag. Like, I place her closer to cosplay than drag.
Why?
Just because, first of all, I think that that's her, like, her area of interest, but I just think that I tend to put her more in the cosplay world than drag world.
Huh.
It's just a, I don't know.
I don't know, I've only seen a few of her, personally, I feel like I've seen more drag looks from her than cosplay looks. I think I've only seen her do 2 or 3 characters, but, you know. But, like I said, it was so cool to see these people, like, in a different environment than the drag arena.
Right. Where,
you know, it was nice. I loved it. I can't wait for next year. It's definitely something I'm going to do all the time. I'm thinking of doing Halloween Con, which is happening in October, but that's actually going to be out in San Jose, if for all you convention hoes that like to do these things, to give myself another chance to do something else different.
Well, they had this thing a while ago called Stockton Con.
There's a Stockton Con? What is that?
I don't know. I think it was just because it was located in Stockton, but it was like a convention.
How long you can't get shot? Like...
Oh my God. No, similar, but probably no. It was a myriad of things, because I know that there was like professional wrestling stuff going on there, and I think there was like also a comics or cosplay type element to it. Melina was there as well. So, So anyway, there's all kinds of cons, girl.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. Ba-dum-bum.
Right. It was at the Moscone Center here in San Francisco, which is beautiful, by the way.
The Moscone Center is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
By the way, it's Moscone.
They have considering the heat we're getting out here in San Francisco, they have an amazing air conditioning system. I lived.
Girl, I bet.
Every time I left to go get food, I would literally, like, want to sprint back to the convention center.
Yeah, the Moscone Center is beautiful. It's located at 4th and Mission... I'm sorry, at 4th and...
It's right across the street from Metreon.
Yeah, it's at 4th and, not Mission, but Howard. It's beautiful, it's new, they have all kinds of amazing things there. That's like where Salesforce used to do all their big things and whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, well, that's good. It sounds like Comic-Con was a lot of fun.
It was beyond fun. Like, I'm sad that it's something that doesn't happen more often here.
Well,
it's kind of sad, but it's cool because it gives me time to, like, think of, like...
If you've ever... Y'all, I was watching this show called Cosplay Melee for a while on TV, and... those people go to all the conventions, and they, like, girl, they don't fucking play.
I saw some of them there. They have some pretty beyond impressive.
Like, I mean, Pearl looked good, y'all, but these people spend, like, a year building their outfit. Right,
and that's legit. Like,
I'm not kidding.
And, you know, put blood, sweat, and tears into their costumes.
Yeah, like, I mean, these people, like, Cosplay Melee, they showed some mad skills, and I used to love watching it because you would learn how some of the tricks of the trade or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's cool, because there is a fine line between cosplay and drag, y'all. You can incorporate some of that fierceness up into some drag looks and be like, and people would, like, really gag for it, I think.
Maybe, so. I don't know. I was looking up cosplay, like, on Instagram and stuff, and someone considered impersonation of, like, celebrities cosplay, and I don't know, I feel like I need to go, like, deeper into the definitions of what cosplay really is.
Cosplay literally means costume play, and so I'm assuming if you dress up like,
wouldn't drag still be, like, if you're impersonating, like, Beyonce or something like that, wouldn't that be both drag and cosplay?
I think that, yeah. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really that kind of in touch with what the line of demarcation is, the delineation between the two is. I suppose if you are a guy who is serving up your favorite Powerpuff Girl or whatever, then it's it's both. Shaka Korn.
Right.
Like, my drag daughter, Shaka Korn, she has done all of these really incredible drag numbers, which are all cosplay, because she's, like, recreates video games and, like...
Yeah, I mean I've done a few things, too. Intense. Like, I've done a Poison Ivy, I've done a Catwoman, I've done the Powerpuff Girls. So, you know...
Yeah.
It's a very fine line. It's a very thin line between drag and cosplay, and I really like it. I really like it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you found something that's fulfilling to you.
Yeah. I almost want to say I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of like when you're in a new relationship and you're kind of just like really like into a new person. And, uh-huh. You know,
you're in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, I'm in that honeymoon phase with cosplay right now.
Well, of course. Well, eventually that all wears off, but enjoy it, bitch.
We'll see. I mean... Because everybody at this convention center was so excited and happy to be there.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen drag queens at shows that were not excited nor happy to be there at whatever venue they're at.
Right. Well, I definitely think that...
And girl, you're paid to be there. That's the difference between cosplayers and drag queens. A drag queen will be paid to be at an event.
And still be a miserable
and
whore.
And still be a miserable hoe. But, girl, these cosplay people will go to convention centers where they gotta pay and, girl, entirely get their lives.
So, you guys, I went today, I've been trying to get us some great interviews lined up for the show, and just so you know, we have some really cool people who are going to be coming up with us. On this episode, we are going to have Super Fruits. Yes, it's, I'm going to apologize in advance, those queens were out and about during doing a fitting somewhere in Hollywood while we were trying to do our interview, so... The sound quality might be a little not what I want, but I'm going to do my best to get it fixed for you guys. And on this episode, we're also going to have singer Ariana and the Rose as well. Ariana has got a new single out called How Does That Make You Feel? It's all sexy and shit. I love that song. All
right.
And then I think we'll potentially have on with us Zoe Badwee from Australia is going to be on with us. I managed to catch her on her way home from Southern Decadence, but... On upcoming episodes, I'm going to tell you some people that we have been working on. I have confirmed that we are going to have Miss Hot Lips Houlihan, Loretta Swit from the iconic TV show MASH is going to be on with us.
Awesome.
On October 3rd. So we're giving you some old school, an old school dance.
Oh, girl.
And we're also going to have with us... Miss Julie Newmar on an upcoming episode. Talk about iconic for the gay community. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Julie Newmar is going to be on with us. I'm working to get us some other incredible interviews.
Original Catwoman?
Yes, the original Catwoman. Not to be mistaken with the time that dumbass Chanel Rivera told me, oh, girl, I love the original Catwoman. And I was like, me too. And she's like, yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's fabulous.
Oh my God. There were so many more Catwomen before. Don't get me wrong. I live for Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. She's probably in my top two or top three.
Yes.
But there were plenty of other women before.
Yeah, there was a lot. So, anyway.
Eartha Kitt, girl?
Eartha Kitt, exactly. But you know what? Chanel Rivera is that girl who doesn't know.
That's true.
That's because she's probably drunk and who knows? Anyway, so we're going to have her. And I'm also, this is, brings me back to what I was getting ready to say a minute ago. I'm also trying to get us Elizabeth Shue on. She, of course, you guys probably know her. She's an Oscar-nominated actress who got an Oscar nomination for her film Leaving Las Vegas. But she, of course, is iconic for her 80s comedy Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Well, that was one of my favorite movies growing up.
And, of course, she's...
You're probably already grown by then.
No, girl. I was, like, young when that came out.
Lies.
I was, like, just out of college when she got her Oscar nomination. So, anyway. So, she's also now, I think, on NCIS or...
Is she really?
Yeah, she's on TV on a regular basis. Anyway, I'm trying to get an interview with her. And as part of that, I went to the movies today. And saw her new film, which will be coming out on September 22nd. It is called The Battle of the Sexes, and it is the Billie Jean King story. Are you familiar with who Billie Jean King is?
Yes.
So, she said yes, but you know she's not telling the truth because she's, like, thinking about it. She's like,
no, I have the face in my head, but I can't.
So, Billie Jean King is one of the most famous female tennis players of all time. She was, like, a trendsetter.
Maybe I don't know who she is then, because that's not who I had in my
right. head. She's like, ah, oh, Billie Jean King? Isn't that Miley Cyrus's dad?
Right.
So, no. Anyway, so Billie Jean King was a trendsetter in the women's liberation movement in the 70s. This was before she came out. Because
come on, lesbian.
Yes,
bitch.
Of course she's a lesbian. But this is before she came out. Because she insisted on equal pay for women tennis players. She said, we're selling out tournaments and we're selling out tours and you're not going to pay us the same. So she coordinated all of the top female tennis players at the time leaving the National Tennis Association.
All right, you better go in.
And they started their own organization, which has since then, you know, so she's somebody who people like Serena Williams and Venus Williams owe a lot to, because could you imagine what it would be like if she hadn't been like, no, the women are going to get paid the same. You know, those women would be out there, like, they'd be world famous. Everybody in the world would know them. They'd be still fucking, they'd be doing okay, but they wouldn't be making what the men
are
making.
What they're making, yeah. And, well, I think those two specifically are making more than what men are making.
Oh, well, they, of course, those two specifically are making more than many, many, many athletes
in general, period.
In general are making, because Serena and Venus Williams, their celebrity goes way beyond tennis. I mean, they are superstars. And at the time, in 1973, when Billie Jean King was the top female, she was the top female tennis player in throughout the mid-70s, she was equally famous. Like, everybody knew her as well. But they had what was called the Battle of the Sexes. It was between her and the number one male tennis player in the world named Bobby Riggs. And they went head-to-head, male versus female. And it was iconic. It sold out the Houston Astrodome. Houston Astrodome seats like 50,000 people. It sold out the Houston Astrodome. It was watched by more than 10 million people on television. But the crazy part about it was, you guys, the actual commentators, Bobby Riggs was the self-proclaimed male chauvinist pig. And he kept saying, like, women need to be in the kitchen and they need to be in the bedroom and that's it.
Oh, really?
And it was like, so it was this big thing. But I watched the film today, and in it, Elizabeth Shue plays Bobby Riggs's wife. And Bobby Riggs is played by, I want to say, Steve Carell. Yeah, Steve Carell. Emma Stone stars as Billie Jean King. It's actually a very, very good film. So if anybody's considering going seeing it, go. I recommend it. A thumbs up for me. It's well told. It's got a tender story of lesbian romance and conflict, and
all right,
and it encapsulates the era of what it was like, because she could not come out because she knew that in 1973, being a lesbian,
they'd probably kill her.
Well, it would have ended her career immediately. There would have been no discussion about it, especially as a pro athlete, because a huge amount of your money comes from sponsorships and all this stuff,
right?
And nobody would have been like, we want that lesbian wearing our shoes, you know, right. Whatever. Too bad Birkenstock wasn't around back then, girl. You could have had Birkenstocks all you wanted.
Womp, womp.
Exactly. Anyway, so it's a good movie. Elizabeth Shue has a great role in it, and we're trying to get her on. So that's what I did this afternoon. I was on the phone negotiating, interviews. I was doing interviews. I was watching movies.
Come on. Multitasking fish.
Yeah. So that's how I spent my afternoon. Anyway, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this.
Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsor, Daddy's Barbershop, located at 4902 19th Street in Nicastro. Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair cut for the summer.
Palm Springs residents, Daddy's Barbershop is opening up a location near you very soon. Stay tuned to Party Foul Radio for more details on the upcoming Daddy's Barbershop in Palm Springs coming in 2017.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I am Poya Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
What happened, girl?
I don't know. Something was going on with my throat, and I was sounding a little more manly than normal.
Oh, well, she had a frog in her throat.
Something.
Spit it out. Spit out the frog.
Right. Speaking of which, what's going on with the men's in your life?
Oh my god, girl, she made a transition from kissing frogs to my dating life. There, you know, it's interesting because yesterday, which is Monday on Labor Day, I was at the Lookout for a party there, and there was this very handsome man who was chatting with me when I was in drag.
And of course, he was in full drag.
Yeah, everybody knows I don't do all that. But I went up to him afterwards after I'd taken off everything, and I started talking with him, and he gave me his number. I sent him a text last night. I haven't heard back from him, so I'm going to wait until like later in the week, and I'll send him a follow-up text. Uh-huh. He was very attractive. He is from Italy, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Come through, Italy. Give me some foreign booty up in here.
Like, we'll see. We'll see if any of that happens, but... Yeah, I mostly, like... Not much going on.
I can't. You guys, we need to get Poyo together. Can we set her up on a blind date?
Well,
you guys, like, I would love to do it.
Like,
if you guys want, shoot me a message in my inbox,
girl,
and maybe I could set it up.
No,
yeah,
girl.
Send me a find me on Facebook at Pearl Tease, T-E-E-S-E, and send me a message with a picture, a little bio, and then I can let you know if we can make this happen, boo.
Well, like I've told y'all the last few weeks, I've just been hanging out in very friendly fashion with somebody, and we went out the other night, and we posted this, like, picture together. He actually posted a picture on his Facebook, and, you know, like, we're just friends, we were just hanging out, and I woke up the next morning to multiple messages asking, like, so, what's going on with the two of you? And I finally was like, look, we can't, like, post stuff like that anymore, because... It's a little uncomfortable. People are asking about, like, what's going on.
But doesn't that happen when you hang out with any other gay male, period?
I don't think so, necessarily. I think that it's because he's very attractive and,
So, basically, you can't have attractive friends and have them post pictures of you two up on
Facebook? Well, I think that's
really...
Right, but well, this is what I would say, because, like, I think that we looked a little too cozy together in the photos. Like, we posted two photos
Some friends
in
get
a week.
Close, girl.
In a week, we posted two photos together, and it was like, people were asking. And I was like, and meanwhile, when I said, people are asking, he's like, let them ask. And I was like.
Right, I heard that, girl. It sounds like, to me, Shigellarella, girl, you might have some competition to be Poyo's. And Poyo might have a new BFF soon.
No, girl.
If not already. She said twice this week, and I have not seen no pictures of you and her up together.
No, because, well, I only post pictures every now
that,
and then
girl.
Of Shigellarella and me together.
Not living.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Shigellarella, Jerome Sadler, one of our most annoying listeners.
You are so rude.
One of our most annoying listeners just tweeted, you might not think I'm so rude. He said, yeah, y'all are better when there's a third person involved. He said, you are boring, bitch.
What are you talking about?
He said, more Shigella, please. I'd live. That's what he tweeted us.
Well,
I'd live, bitch.
Anyway.
So, yeah, sorry about it. Jerome, you're right. Pearl's a dud. We need a third party in here to spice things up in this relationship.
You know.
This romance. It takes two to make a thing feel right. It takes three to make a hole feel tight.
Oh, no. If you are that loose, I can't deal.
Girl, that's
I'm going to doubt it.
Oh, very, very. That's an old lady bunny shtick.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so...
No men.
No men. Of course there's no men, girl. No. Like, there are no men. And I shut down, like...
You guys, she had to say that, like, three times.
I shut down my OkCupid account. As y'all well know, it was annoying the shit out of me. And
you still got Grindr?
I have Grindr, but I barely go on there.
So you kept the hoe app.
Like, I kept Grindr, like...
The hoe app.
No, because I don't... Girl...
It is.
Those are only hoe app. Nothing is hoeier than you make it.
Girl, Grindr is a hoe app. You can sit here and try to talk...
No, well, I'm not trying to justify it. What I'm saying is, like, that is not my use for it. Like, I don't hook up with people from there. I don't... Like, not only is there no romance, there ain't nothing else going on either. There's no, like, real sex thing. That one thing I did, but that was a while ago. And, like, no, there's not really anything going on. Like, there's nothing to report, bitch. Nope. I told y'all last week. Charlotte done spun a fucking web over my bed. Said, Nothing new here. Nothing news. No news is bad news. Nothing to report here, bitch.
Well, you know, sometimes it's okay. It happens for a little bit sometimes. We'll see. Like I said, you guys, shoot me a message. Yeah. We can hook this up. This could be so much fun.
Yeah, no. I will say that, like, my friend that I've been hanging out with, like, it feels close. It's not a sexual thing. It's not a romantic thing. It feels nice. It's very different.
It's like that romantic phase I was talking about when you have a new relationship with something or someone.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just in that honeymoon phase, girl.
With him? No, if you're listening, no, we're not in a honeymoon phase, and we definitely need to put, like, a foot between us in photos. Like, so that people stop asking.
I'm not gonna not take close pictures with my homegirls because people want to be nosy and all up in my business.
Well, I mean, this situation is a little bit different, but...
Because he's attractive.
Because he is attractive.
What? So you can't have attractive friends, is what you're saying?
Well,
and take close pictures with them because it's going to be assumed. Something.
It's not about that. It's about the fact that we talked about this before. Like when you have somebody that you're attracted to, because I am attracted to him. I'm very attracted to him. He's very attractive.
So,
like, and we have a really good time together. And so it feels like a little it feels a little cozy because it's a little cozy. And it doesn't need to be. So
you don't want it to be.
It's not it's not appropriate. It's just not appropriate. It's not appropriate, and I don't want to cause friction in the friendship by even suggesting that is happening.
It sounds like the only people suggesting that it's happening are people that don't even matter.
But, well, there's a lot of people. We know a lot of people in common,
this is the San Francisco LGBT community.
Right. Of course. So this is something that I'm always very mindful of, whether actually it's just somebody who is a new friend or if it's somebody that I actually am dating or romantically involved with. I am aware that the average person, because of social media, average people have a lot more attention to their private matters because people can see what they post or whatever. But I am aware that I am a slightly higher profile than many people, even just in the community at large. So because of the fact that I'm higher profile, that means, what I mean by that, listeners, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal, but what I am saying is that...
This is where you put in that sound bite. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying I'm better or different or whatever. What I'm saying is that more people are attached to my Facebook in various different ways and more people know me in a public sense because I've lived a very public life for the last decade plus as a performer, entertainer, and active member of the community.
Uh-huh.
So even if I'm just hanging out with somebody and friends and we post something...
This excuse is getting boring.
It's not an excuse. It's one of those things I am very mindful of that because sometimes, actually, even if it were romantic, like, sometimes that flips people out because they're like, this is a lot of attention we're getting and whatever.
Oh, girl.
So I've kept entire dating situations on the DL for, like, weeks and weeks.
Oh, no. If I feel like I am not a down low hoe. If you're gonna date me, you're gonna date me publicly, boo. That's just gonna be how it is.
I think that there's a difference between, like, being a down low hoe and being, like, discreet about what we, like, what is put out in public. Because I think that the early phases, like, again, you guys, this is not a dating situation, but if I were in a dating situation and we're in the early phases, I think that that is a area where you're feeling each other out a little bit. You're getting an idea for what that interaction's like. And having, like, a lot of cooks in the kitchen or having a lot of attention or pressure on something, I don't think that's good for whether it's dating or friendships. Like, I think it can be too much pressure or people, like, can get weirded out by whatever. So.
Well, girl, if you get weirded out by...
And on the flip side of that, I've had people want to date me because of the fact that they see me as high profile and then they, like, want to be connected and whatever. And I've had people want to be my friend.
Oh.
You know that's right, bitch.
Well, you know, that particular person, you know, wants to be everybody's friend.
Right, because of the fact that he wants up in the mix and he wants to be seen as important and whatever. But that is not an uncommon... And y'all, I'm sorry I whispered that, but, like, there's something that don't need to be said where right. people, you know.
We don't want that drama back in
right,
our lives.
Right, exactly. Thank you. It's like Beetlejuice, bitch. You cannot say the name. Like Candyman, right. more like it.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's certain people who are drawn to that, and they want to be attached. And so I'm less hesitant about that because I can handle my own. I can cut somebody off real quick.
Right.
But I don't want to involve somebody in my life that I, like, actually really enjoy spending time with and like hanging out with. And then, like, have it freaked out or whatever, scare them off or...
Girl, if you can't handle my lifestyle, then you can't get with it. One, even as just a friend. Girl, bye.
Right, well, I...
It just is what it is. Take it or leave it.
I understand that, but at the same time, I do think that there is, like, a ramp-up period. Like,
and getting... not to mention that this person was the one who posted it.
Yeah.
So, girl, if you want to post these pictures, be prepared. Be prepared. Happen.
I mean, like, I don't think that he cares. Like, I'm
right. So then, what's the problem?
Yeah, I don't. But part of me is like bothered by the fact that he doesn't care.
Why? Why?
Because like, why invite that? Like, why invite questions like that?
It's because he's not doing it for the purpose of getting questions.
I guess
it's he's celebrating your friendship. On social media, which is what we all do.
I guess.
You're putting too much thought into it. Shigellarelli, you better come get your best friend.
You better give me some kind of psychological evaluation, which I'm sure is already complete before this interview is even done.
Done. Right.
Well, she's over there. She's writing up some kind of a, that's a this and that disorder.
I live, girl. Now
yeah.
I live again.
Yeah. Oh, Pearl's living again. Momentarily, she was dying, but now she's living.
Right.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, there is no such thing as a dating front around here, and pretty much, like, that's that. So,
well,
I don't know. I don't know if that's in the cards for me now or in the near future. I am listening to my, what is it, I listen to something like Attract Fulfillment or whatever. I listen to meditations every single night. And this
oh my god, you and these fucking...
Girl, I do, bitch.
What are they called again? Meditation,
Like, affirmation, meditation type of things, hypnosis, whatever. Guided meditation for abundance, health, wealth, and relationships.
Girl, so she just plays... Oh my god, she just plays these sound bites, pretty much is what they are.
No, it's like, it's a hypnosis thing. It's like, okay, you feel all your troubles draining out your toes.
I cannot.
And now out of your feet... The back of your thighs. It's all your troubles. And then, like, by
and then...
And
then she opens her eyes and her house is still a mess.
Girl, I said it was a guided meditation. There is one I sometimes listen to. Like, I like to do housework.
I live.
Girl, really? Yeah, there's one I like to work out. I like to do housework. I want to be, like, an alpha male or alpha female personality.
What happened to just putting together your own good old playlist, girl?
Girl, these are meditations. They're, like, an hour of spoken bullshit, like... Like, it's like, you know, one of the ones that I sometimes will listen to is be like, we're going to go now down the hallway of distortion.
Oh, no.
Where you'll find an old man, a wise old man sitting in a chair who might tell you a story, which I'm sure you'll enjoy.
What?
Yeah. But
have he told you stories?
Bitch, I wouldn't know because I'm asleep before I ever meet him. I get halfway down the hallway of distortion and bitch, I'm out. I don't even know. Girl.
Hashtag hallway of distortion, girl.
Which is also what they call Pearl's puss, bitch. Hello, hallway of distortion. Hello.
I cannot. Such a mess.
Girl, sometimes I crack myself the fuck up. Oh my god. All right, you guys, should we take a break and come back with an interview?
We can. Let's do it.
All right, you guys, when we come back, we are going to have with us...
Pentatonix! Super Fruits.
Yes, we are going to have Mitch and Scott, Super Fruit. They are two-fifths of Pentatonix, three-time Grammy winners for their group at the acapella group, but now they've got their own new album coming out very, very shortly.
Well, they have an album that just dropped, and then the second part to their album coming out next week.
Yes, it's going to be called Future Friends.
It's already called Future Friends. It's just going to be part two next week.
Okay, yes, that is correct. Future Friends came out earlier this summer. Future Friends, the second part, which actually makes the full album, is going to be coming out next week. But go check them out now. I am personally most in love with their song Bad For Us, but that's kind of old. It's not off
Bad
the new
album. Bad For Us is old.
But I love that. I love the video for Bad For Us.
There's so many good songs on that. Super Friends is good. Future Friends is good.
And Future Friends is the new one that's got a pro wrestling theme in it.
Mm-hmm. And then I also like...
Vacation.
I like 90s Heartthrob. That is like
okay,
my song.
Heartthrob is like, I think, probably my second favorite. Like, after Bad For Us, Heartthrob is my favorite Superfruit song. So Heartthrob is my favorite off of the album.
Yeah, I think it's mine too.
So we will have Mitch and Scott from Superfruit on with us right after this. You're listening to Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Stay abreast of all that's happening around the LGBTQ world by visiting GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ news, entertainment, and travel destination for all your information on pride events, news, entertainment, and features in the LGBTQ world. GuideToGay.com, a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio. That's GuideToGay.com.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Poya Del Mar, and at this time, we are excited to welcome to Party Foul Radio Mitch Grossi, Scott Hoying. They are two-fifths of the platinum-selling group Pentatonix, but on their own, they are known as Superfruit, and they have their great, no, make that amazingly fun new EP, Future Friends, Part 2, available now. Welcome to Party Foul Radio, Superfruit. Hi, how are you?
Oh, we were waiting for you outside. We're good.
Oh, great. I apologize. I didn't know that we were all connected.
So. Oh, that's okay. That's so funny.
Well, congratulations on the release of Future Friends. And I watched your video this morning for Future Friends. I had no idea that you guys were pro wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah, big fans. We love sports.
We watch it all the time.
So, did I take it wrong or incorrectly that the message of that song was that if we can put aside all of the fighting that we're doing, actually all the parties involved in politics and things like that actually might be friends in the future?
Yeah. The concept of Future Friends is that, like, even through a horrible relationship, a horrible breakup, like, it doesn't mean that the relationship has to end altogether, that we can be friends. And so, I mean, like, the video can embody that.
Yeah, it can be interpreted in many ways.
So, well, I mean, I took it in a political sense because I think that if we, like, for example, I look at my friends on social media and I'm like, God, I like you so much better when I don't know what you're thinking politically.
Right. It can definitely be interpreted that way.
I was wondering, with the process of kind of splintering off into Superfruit from Pentatonix and the work that you've done there, has that altered the relationship that you have with other members of the group as a whole?
No, not at all. No, we're all, you know, we all do our own thing, and we all have different creative passions and ideas that, you know, that we couldn't necessarily execute in Pentatonix. So it's nice to have our own separate creative outlets. But we're all very supportive of each other.
Yeah, I think it's helped us a lot because in Pentatonix, we all, the five of us, have to get on the same page for everything we do. And so sometimes we sacrifice, like, personal things for that. And so I feel like it's nice we each have our solo project to kind of express ourselves individually.
Yeah, I talked to Kirsten last week, and she said that, you know, for her, the idea of putting out a solo project allowed her to explore avenues that, as a group, would not work. And I was wondering if you guys kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, for one, Pentatonix is acapella. So there's a limited sort of space you can kind of explore musically in that sense.
With the release of your solo work and your original music,
it's actually made me a fan of the two of you in a way that I was not previously, because of the fact that it gives you a musical voice. And I was wondering if you could talk about the kind of sound that you've chosen for the two of you.
Yeah, I feel like Superfruit is, our music is, it's a very good representation of sort of our musical common ground as people and as musicians, because we both have very different tastes, but I feel like we both really enjoy musicality, and we both really enjoy funk and summer anthems and, I mean, and pop music at its very core. So it's been fun to sort of explore what pop music means to us.
Yeah, it's decidedly poppy, and I was saying right before we were connected that as a body of work, it feels like you could put this on and it would be that gay slumber party that I dreamed of having when I was like a little quiet teenager.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about the imagery that you reflect in all of your music videos. It's so bright and so colorful, and I'm trying to remember which video it was where you're reminding me of that red monster that Bugs Bunny like kind of does his hair.
Vacation, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering about that kind of imagery that you guys project. It's so bright and colorful.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we wanted to do. I feel like our friendship is just so fun and upbeat and colorful, and we wanted to kind of communicate that through our looks and through our videos. We just wanted it to be fun and free. Liberated.
Mm-hmm. Liberated is a good word.
So, do you not feel liberated in the confines of Pentatonix?
Oh, no, we absolutely do. I mean, it's not about, yeah, it's different. We're definitely ourselves in Pentatonix, but it's a different sort of demographic. I mean, there is an overlap, but we're catering to a different crowd.
There's a lot of science to our personality, too. I feel like Pentatonix, I mean, Mitch and I grew up doing theater and choir. We were like such choir nerds. And in Pentatonix, it kind of satisfies that part of ourselves. But then we're also, like, gay and fun and, like, best friends. And so Superfruit is more that side of it.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a lot of fan desire for, like, you guys to just be like, okay, we admit it, we're in love with each other. I don't think that... it's something, it's like a conflict I don't think that any, like, straight duo would ever have from their fan base.
That's true. Definitely want us to be together.
Yeah, it's like, I see that in, like, every interview. They're, like, so curious. But, so, what is your biggest pet peeves about each other?
Our biggest pet peeves about each other?
About each other?
Yeah, about each other.
That's hard. I mean, there are things I definitely want to encourage, but do. I don't know if they're pet peeves, but I would say, you know, don't, because I'm sort of the more critical one of the group, and anybody would tell you that. So I would say, you know, Scotty doesn't need to be so afraid to pitch ideas to me for fear that I'll be hypercritical of them. But it's not really a pet peeve.
I don't know. I guess when you like, I really don't know. I can't think of anything. So.
Aw, that is that's adorable because, yeah, I mean that it's hard for you guys to discuss. You've been friends for a long time, so I'm surprised that nothing has like worked your nerves about one another.
Well, I mean, we get on each other's nerves all the time, but the thing with us is we just have such an open line of communication, so it's hard to say like, oh, I have this grudge that I've been holding against you for a couple months now. You know what I mean? We always talk about it because, you know, this is a really important partnership. We're friends, but we're also, you know, this is a business partnership as well, so everything has to be on the open.
Right, of course. After so many years of covering other people's music, I was wondering what it was like to have Matt Boyd and Mario Jose cover your original song, Bad for Us.
Oh, yeah, that was so amazing. They're friends of ours, and they're so talented. And just to see a song that we wrote and, like, just to see it covered by such talented singers, it was really special.
One of the things I particularly loved about your track, Sexy Ladies, is that it really plays to the role that gay men often play in the lives of so many women who are close to us. That idea that we get to see them in a way that no straight man ever will or likely ever will. And we get to fulfill that part in them where they want to be treated so special. And I was wondering if you guys could tell us about the women in your life that inspired that and your decision to make a song like that.
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly surrounded by strong women, people that we work with and women that we're friends with, but it's especially now it is just so important to uplift women, and I would call us feminists, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, through high school, college, and now, we have just, like, so many women friends that we are, like, really, really close to and, like, are always going out with and always partying with, and they're always, like, having problems. Like, guys are treating them terribly, and so it's just like,
why don't we just relax for the night, and I'll be your man tonight. We can just have fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you guys, the vibe on this record is decidedly party, and I was wondering if we're getting an accurate sense of, like, the party people that you guys are on your record?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, who were the musical influences of your contemporaries today that inspired some of the songs on this record?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, Beyonce and Betty Who and Charlie XCX, Bruno Mars. We love the PC Music Collective as well. We're really inspired by how they kind of rework pop music.
Anything R&B, I know Jeff Sullivan. And, I feel like that inspired our melodies.
You mentioned Betty Who, and I was talking to a singer named Grace Mitchell recently, and she was talking about being really close with Betty Who. It appears that you guys are also very close with Betty Who, and I was wondering what it was like.
Yeah, we love her.
I was wondering what it was like to collaborate with her.
It was amazing. We're such fans of her voice and her music, and that was such a last-minute thing, and we're so excited that she asked us to be a part of it, because we love that song, and the message is so important right now, but it's so just on brand for both of us.
You guys are really quiet. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to record this so that...
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
closer.
So...
Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I can hear it. I'm just, like, afraid when I'm trying to, like... listen back, it will be so quiet. So,
interesting.
So, no problem at all. I know that you guys have collaborated with Todrick Hall in the past, and Todrick is so talented, of course, needless to say, and he is under fire a lot right now for his collaboration work in the video for Taylor Swift, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on seeing a friend of yours kind of in the focus and spotlight like that.
I mean, you know, it's bound to happen with anyone and everyone. People are always going to disagree with you, and you have to make bold choices sometimes in your career. And
yeah, I mean, we've met Taylor Swift, and she's, like, the sweetest girl ever, and I totally see how they're, like, really close friends, and so we fully support it. And if my best friend that was a huge pop star asked me to be in a music video with her, I would say yes.
Yeah.
So I don't see the problem with it. I don't know what he did wrong, but... It is hard. I've been seeing all over Twitter, like, people dragging him for it. I mean, what would he have done differently? If someone was in his position, would they have said no?
That's the question, actually, that I have. You know, like, if you had the opportunity to be in the event, the biggest event video of the entire year, would you say no?
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, who would have said no? How do you fall into that?
Right.
Yeah, from an artistic sense, one would think that a great opportunity to express who you are artistically, whether that's vocally or dancing or choreography, I mean, it just does not kind of compute to me.
Totally.
What was the decision behind putting Future Friends out in two pieces?
I think we just wanted to get something out. We were, like, very anxious to get started. And Pentatonix is going through this transitional phase. We had a few months. We were like, let's just get, like, an EP out, and then we'll keep working on the second one while the first one does the thing. It was just a way to get content out quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys have had a tremendous kind of experience putting out regular content and building a following through your YouTube channel. Not only do you receive it, but you encourage that kind of direct feedback and actually incorporate commentary from your following into your, you know, future videos. And I was wondering what that interactivity is like for you.
I mean, it's been amazing. It's really great to see what people like and what people don't like. But YouTube has been such an integral part of our career trajectory for Pentatonix and Superfruit. And I think it honestly has revolutionized the way musicians and artists in general work and, you know, become successful. It's been great.
So many artists feel like being openly gay is a trap for them or is very limiting. And with the two of you, it has been such a cornerstone of your career from the beginning. And I was wondering if it has ever played into your mind or how it plays into the mind of an artist about being open about their sexuality.
You know, it's done so much work. It's done so much, you know, it's created so much positivity. It's encouraged our fans and people watching us to be open and be themselves. And that, to me, is the most important part. Just to show people that it's easy and it's so much better to be open and accept yourself. But,
I was just going to say, I feel like it's funny, you're growing up and think, maybe I should hide it because all the better chance of having a more successful career. And, I remember always thinking that, but I think we're at a point where we're like, what Superfruit is free, open, and it's just honest and authentic.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we've made a decision whether to do one thing or the other.
To be gay or straight. We're just being ourselves.
Yeah, we're just
have to be gay.
Yeah, we don't even care. There's no pressure for it to be massively successful. Or is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? We just are just being ourselves and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
somebody described it as a situation where you guys are almost the absolute caricatures of being gay as a way of kind of pushing that concept that, you know, that there's a whole spectrum here of what one can find in themselves and be acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to me today. I apologize for not recognizing that we were already all online sooner. And
that's okay.
We were at a fitting, so we were just trying on clothes waiting.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And have a great day. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. I'm Scott.
I'm Nick.
And we're Superfruit, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
To make the most out of your personal pleasure time, visit a retailer near you and pick up Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants. Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants carries a product for every orifice, from masturbation creams to anal creams, and of course, the best in water and silicone-based lubricants. That's Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants, a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. Welcome back to more Party Foul Radio, listeners. My name is Poya Delmar. I'm your co-host and producer of the show, and I'm excited to have joining us at this time Ariana and the Rose. She is the other Ariana. Ariana and the Rose's new EP, Retrograde, is available now for download on iTunes as well as other electronic music outlets. You can stream all of the latest singles on Spotify or check out the music videos on YouTube. Her latest music video, titled How Does That Make You Feel, is a sexy, sultry ode to female empowerment sexually, and it follows her duet Love You Lately, which has gotten over 1 million views, and the first single from this was super cool, which is a track all about watching a friend who seems so cool unravel right before your eyes. Of course, this interview is brought to you in conjunction with Mighty Real Agency in New York City and our homegirl, Ms. Martha Tang, New York City's favorite power top and my favorite Asian diva on the East Coast, Gorgina.
Hello, is the power top here calling?
Well, honey, I need a call from a power top right about now.
Oh, hang on just 1 second. Say hello to Ariana.
Hi, Ariana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am very well, and I'm excited. I have been a fan of your music since, oh gosh, for at least a couple years now. And so...
Oh, my God, really? Yay!
Yes, well, you had some, earlier in your career, you had some, like, really dancey-oriented tracks, and that's what caught my attention at first, and now you're, like, gotten all sultry on us, because, like, how does that make you feel? It's all sexy and shit.
Yeah. No, you're right. Oh, my God. You're, like, you, like, have them from, like, the get-go. Yeah, I had a song called In Your Bed that I had put out that was, like, pretty dancey.
That's the track that I love.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I literally talk about this all the time with some of my friends, and they're like, should we release that song now and just, like, do it anyway? Because everyone seems to love that song, so you never know. It still goes. It's still sultry. It's still about being in someone's bed.
Right, but I'm talking, like, first of all, yes, that is the song that introduced me to you, and I talked about it on a, once we confirmed this interview, I talked about it on a recent podcast of mine, and I love that track, but this, when I talk about sultry, I'm talking, this is very torchy and very emotionally sultry. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that, like kind of pouring your heart out in that way.
Whenever you do stuff like that, you never know how that's going to come across to people, right? That, like, you poured yourself into something. Sometimes that doesn't always, you think of something one way, and it kind of, like, when you put it out into the world, it doesn't always translate. So the fact that the music has been resonating like that has been so, just, like, such a great experience in terms of, like, a release. Of, like, putting, I don't mean a release, like, a literal release. I mean, like, an emotional release of, like, giving it to the world and having people kind of, I guess, relate to it. So, yeah, I just wanted to make music that I just, like, wanted to, like, dig into myself and make music that I felt like was really personal. And I started to be like, if it doesn't scare me to talk about, then I'm not going to write it, basically.
Right, and this track follows Love You Lately, which is also very emotional. So I was wondering what was going on during this writing process for you.
Well, funny stuff. I had been in a relationship for a while, and I had been living in London, actually, and then it broke up with that, had just, like, a really long, drawn-out, tough breakup, as a lot of people have been through, and at the same time was, like, starting to be in the States again more and be in LA more, and it's always like, it always feels like a weight off when you go far away from something. So I think that, like, I just sort of, like, threw up all my feelings onto this music, and I turned around and felt like it should be a collection of songs, which is why I decided to put it out as an EP.
Right. I was definitely wondering about that because, as I said, like, while I don't think a single song ever reflects the breadth or entirety of an artist or who that individual is, as a listener, when you only know bits and pieces of what somebody releases, that's how you identify them. And I definitely felt that this new EP is something of a divergence from what I had known about you previously. So hearing that you went through this emotional time kind of makes a little more sense of it.
Yeah, I think that I was making music before. I love dance music, and I love club culture, and I'm born and raised in New York. So, like, I've spent, like, literally all of my time in clubs, and, like, I guess that reflected in my music. And then I started to feel like, well, what if I want to do other stuff? Like, what if I want to write things that feel more personal? And I didn't know how to find that space, like, in the genre. And so I started to sort of, like, veer a little more, I guess, into what I'm doing now. What's been cool is that I feel like the music still has, it still has movement to it. It still has dance stuff, and there's still space that, like, if I want to push something into, like, a dancier place, I can do that. Or we can do, like, an amazing remix and collaborate with someone, because I definitely don't ever want to leave that space either, because I love music that's inside of nightlife, and I love that culture, and I love being a part of it. So for me, it was kind of finding music that could maybe be in both worlds a little bit more.
Right, and I think that you really touch upon something that is so crucial in today's music industry, and that is that even a track that is the tempo of How Does That Make You Feel could be remixed into something that is blazing hot for a dance floor and take on an entirely new identity. I've experienced numerous songs in the past where I knew them as a remix first, only to discover that they were something different earlier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's so many songs like that. I remember when that Tofu track came out, when Say Hi came out, I only knew that as a remix for, like, the first 6 months that I heard it. And then I remember someone saying to me, like, oh, it's a music video of this girl. And I was like, oh, I heard that song in the club. I love that song. So I think that people discover music while they're out and while they're partying. So to like, limit yourself to just sometimes one version of it isn't the best way to help discovery.
You also directed the music video for your new single, and I was wondering if you could talk about that, you know, the experience of doing that for the very first time.
Yeah, sure. I've been really fortunate to partner with some really amazing directors and make some videos that I'm really proud of, and for this song, it just felt really personal, and I felt like it's this lyric about, like, being seen and, like, being intimate with someone and, like, being vulnerable and letting someone kind of, like, letting someone in this way. And I just felt really strongly that I didn't want to leave that up to somebody else. I didn't want to leave, like, the visual of that to be someone else's perception of me. I wanted to be able to make something that I felt like really looked like who I am as an artist. And so for me, directing it just felt like the right way to go, and I'm really fortunate that I have a team that was, like, really behind that, and I have a really great group of creative people that I work with, and everyone just was really on the same page. And I worked with this amazing choreographer named Kat DeAngelis, who did all the choreography for it, and she just creative direction. Yeah, the whole thing just came together in a really organic way, which so felt really good to kind of be able to put that out with the song.
I love the video, by the way, and you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
I mean, the purple hair, I emailed our girl Martha and I said, I need that wig. Find out what it is. And she said, it's not a wig.
God.
It's her real hair.
It's my real hair. It's my real hair. It's not a wig. I dyed my hair. It was an accident. I dyed it over the holidays because I was like, just decided I wanted to. And then was like, I'm keeping this forever. I just loved it. So thank you. I'm really glad. But maybe we should start. I was thinking about this. Like, maybe we should start doing purple wigs at shows and, like, see if people, like, want to wear them.
Oh my God. Well, as a drag performer, I want to wear them every day. And this isn't just a purple wig. This is, like, what they call mermaid. It's got, like, multiple colors in it. Living for it. Love it. So
Thank you.
Good on you. And live for it. So,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I want to ask you, I'd read in an interview that you had done previously that your track's super cool, which, by the way, I can relate to the sentiment that you said is behind it, which is that it's, like, about seeing somebody who seems so fabulous, and then you recognize that probably behind the facade, this basically shit's gone haywire. And that was really my life for a while. Like, everybody's like, you're fierce. And I'm like, I'm falling apart on the inside, but you don't know it. But you had mentioned that this was about a real person that you'd known. And I was wondering if you actually ever felt like that as a person yourself.
Well, you are fabulous, whether you're falling apart on the inside or not. So, like, obviously, that's happening. But I had based it off of a friend, and then, like, I guess a kind of, the whole thing was a mix of just, like, a lot of people that I knew, and then as well as myself. I just sort of was writing about this feeling of, like, imposter syndrome, which I feel like so many people have, so many creative people have, where, like, especially with, like, social media and, like, I mean, it's like what you're talking about, where, you know, you have this kind of, like, fabulous character, and you get to do these amazing things and go out, and then, like, during the day when the sun's out, you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing with my life? And it's just, like, all hanging by a thread. With the sentiment of, like, but she's super, super cool, I mean, that was sort of, that lyric was a placeholder originally. I just didn't have a better word for it. So I was like, what is she? And I was like, well, she's just super cool. I mean, because that's just how I talk. And then it was like there was nothing that explained it better than that. But, yeah, I mean, I think I feel like that at different times. So, I mean, I'd like to think that I hope other people feel that way, too, otherwise. Otherwise, that's, I mean, me by myself, but.
Oh, no, I definitely think that other people do feel that way. And it's interesting that we're having this conversation because just yesterday somebody was talking in a public space, which I happened to overhear, and he was talking about how he frequently judges the reality of his life based on what he sees other people presenting, meaning you mentioned, for example, social media, and nobody puts on their Facebook page or their Instagram page, like, I'm the most miserable I've ever been in my life. That, you know, even if that's what's going on, they post, like, look at me, I'm looking so cute getting coffee, or, oh, look at me, like, I've got dogs. You know, I mean, I'm talking about myself, actually, because, like, even when I feel like shit, I'm like, you know, my dogs are adorable, or look how cute these people at the coffee shop are, or, you know, whatever. It's a facade that we present. And in the past, I think that it was something that was more easily done by people in a place of celebrity because we would only get to see these crafted images of people. But now, because of social media, our friends are able to do it as well. Like, everybody gets to put on a mask at a very public level that only the people who are really inclined to do so will ever see past.
Yeah, it's a really strange sort of phenomenon. And even with, like, I feel like there started to be this whole movement of people, especially, like, Instagram people that would, like, that stopped doing all of that. I don't know if you saw any of that, where there was, like, a girl that was, like, I took 400 pictures to, like, look like this. Like, there were these, like, Instagram models that kind of started to, like, rebel against that. And it's just so interesting that, like, that idea has, like, seeped into just, like, day-to-day stuff. Like, you're right. Like, it's not people who are trying to be, like, a public figure in any way. It's just this, like, feeling that we all have now that we have to, like, present in some way. So, I mean, that's really kind of, that was kind of where the song came from. Is I have this one specific friend who, like, she's always so fabulous. Like, she's, like, photographed on, like, all these, like, she's on the sartorialist. She, like, that's her street style app. She's, like, this, she's just this, like, fabulous girl. But, like, every time as a friend, when I, like, talk to her, she's always like, oh, my God, all this stuff is unraveling. And she is, like, the picture of that, where, like, she looks unbelievable online and all this stuff. And I was like, there's just so many of us feel like that. But I guess ultimately I wanted the sentiment to feel empowering and that ultimately underneath it, like, you are great, even if you feel like it's all kind of crumbling down.
Yeah, I definitely think that the reason it's become so problematic societally is because of the fact that there was a time and a place where we would judge ourselves based on the superstars, the A-list celebrities of the world. And now, because of the way images are fed to us through all of our social media, I mean, you know, sometimes you can even look at your best friend and be like, oh, she's so happy, you know, and not realize that she just lost her job and her car's getting repossessed while she's taking the selfie. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's so true. And it's so crazy too how, like, that it's so easy to fall down that rabbit hole. Like, I mean, I do that all the time where, like, I'll look at like other musicians and other people that, like, I'm like, oh God, that's so cool that they're, like, playing that venue, or oh my God, like, that song's amazing or they look amazing. It's so easy to, like, fall into this, like, comparative place. And I think specifically things like Instagram, right, where you have just, like, a grid of a snapshot of someone's life. It's so easy to look at all that. So, I mean, I think it's important to kind of try and, like, take a step back from that and, like, judge yourself on, like, your own internal values. But it's hard. It's hard to do. And I think that it sort of makes it really important to be doing things that you believe in, because there's always going to be an Instagram feed that looks cooler and, like, more curated than yours, so. You have to love what you're up to, I think.
Absolutely. And I try to personally
maintain the idea that the only person I have to really compete with is myself in terms of trying to be a better person and more happy and productive and successful than I was yesterday. That's what I try to live by. It's much easier said than done in philosophy than practice, but, you know, it works well for me.
Now, no, I agree. I think I try the same thing. I think you have to, right? And, like, and it's so funny, too, because, like, I'm sure people look at your stuff and, like, they look at what they're doing and they're like, oh, my God, I'm like, that's so unbelievable. It's just, like, you never know, right? But that's the cycle of it. There's always someone looking at you wishing that they were doing that and you're always looking at something else. So I think it's just trying to, like, spread the message of like, everyone kind of just, like, owning what they do. But you're right, it's hard. It's a hard thing to break out of.
I was reading the post that you made underneath the video for How Does That Make You Feel? And one of the things that really stood out to me is you said that you hope that people will listen to the song. And because even though it's a very sexy, like, driven song, you said that there was a sentiment behind it wherein you hope that people will be inspired by it to put on whatever makes them feel like a bad bitch. You said that, a bad bitch, and walk into any room anywhere and say to their haters, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think that the image in that video of what I did, you know, like, I'm wearing, like, a latex bodysuit in that video, and, like, I have my purple hair and a finger wave, and, like, that's, to me, like, that was my version for myself, right? Of, like, dressing up in the way that I feel fierce and strong and feminine, and those were qualities for me that, like, were important to bring out. But everyone has different things, right? Like, everyone has identifies with, like, different adjectives that make them feel like themselves. So my hope with the video was sort of saying, I'm gonna do this first. I'm gonna be like, this is how I feel, this is what makes me feel sexy, this is what turns me on, and hope that, like, other people would look at that and be like, yeah, girl, like, you know what, like, these are the things that make me feel hot. And we're actually gonna be doing a photo series with it where we're asking fans and people to send in images of themselves and, like, whatever makes them feel like their, like, baddest self. So if you want to be a part of it, I would love for you to send in a photo of yourself in your, like, baddest bitch outfit.
I'm, like, 400 versions of the baddest bitch, because I change what my idea of the baddest bitch is every single day, pretty much, when I wake up. So I think that would be fierce. I would love to do that. And I hope our listeners will do the same. How can people submit to that?
We're going to be posting it, actually, within the next week. So if they follow us on Facebook or Instagram, but we can send you a link to it. And we're going to have them all emailed and then put them all up on, like, a really on a Tumblr page, so, like, everyone can go back and see their images. So if you're listening, head over to our Facebook page and we'll have a special, like, login for you.
Yes, that's amazing. Now, I do know that one of the things that you've been doing of late, in addition to your kind of, like, sight and sound project, is you've been performing at a lot of LGBT clubs, and I was wondering if you could talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the LGBT community and all of those clubs have been such a home for me since the very beginning of starting stuff, even, you know, back from when I was doing kind of that more dance-oriented music, like you mentioned, and playing Pride festivals, and, you know, I did, like, market days in Chicago a couple years ago. I played Pride in Louisville and L.A. and all these places, and it's just something that I feel like, for me as an artist, for the music, like, the LGBTQ community has been so open to me, and it's such a place of love that message is so unified with what I want to do and what I want to bring, so continuing to be a part of that community is really important to me, and to have the music heard and, you know, kind of listened to there has been just amazing. So, I mean, I'll always put that as a priority for me.
With the fact that you are still an emerging artist, and I was kind of blown away when I went back to the How Does That Make You Feel video today and saw that in a little over 10 days, it's gotten a 250,000 views plus. I think that's pretty insane.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, We've been really fortunate to have some, like, really unbelievable press, and the video was premiered on Vogue, and Billboard Pride featured it the other day, and it's just really cool to have people, you know, watching it, and you know, hopefully it's something that resonates with people.
Have you gotten visual comparisons to Lady Gaga? Because there are times in the video I was like, she looks a lot like Gaga in this video.
I get compared to Lady Gaga potentially 2 to 4 times a week, which I am so fine with. I saw her at City Field 2 days ago and basically cried for like the entire time she was singing. So I'm totally fine with that. That's an unbelievable compliment.
Yeah, I mean, visually, I'm not saying musically necessarily, but visually, there were times in the video I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, Ariana. Like, I thought to myself, yeah, this is the direction Gaga needs to go with some of her imaging. It's beautiful, and yet, even despite the purple hair, like, subtle and sexy, not like, I'm wearing a meat dress and look at me. But, I mean, it was just, yeah, I was wondering if that was something that happened often, because that was one of the first things that I thought when I was watching the video. So I'm glad it wasn't offensive.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, she's from New York. She has, like, her roots in avant-garde theater and art. So I think that, like, my influences naturally are in a similar place to hers. I mean, obviously, I think she has, like, really... what's the word I want to use? She's really used camp as like a way for her videos, and even when you look back at like the Bad Romance video and stuff like that, like everything was like really over the top, but still fashion. And I think that for me, I like things to be a little softer, and I'm not really as interested in like shock value in that way. But I mean, yeah, I'm happy to like take the comparisons, but. I agree with you. I think that, like, her kind of doing what she's done in a more subdued way would be a really interesting thing to see, rather than just, like, going totally away from it, if that makes sense.
No, I remember when she put out one of her music videos. I want to say it was You and I, and, you know, that's such a beautiful ballad song. And leading up to the release of the music video, there was a lot of talk about how it was going to be so subtle and everything, and I was like... Nothing about the video was subtle. I was like, okay, this is... she and I have a very clear... clear discrepancy between her idea of subtle and my idea of subtle. I was thinking Madonna
like
lived to tell.
In a bathtub in that video, right?
Yeah, that's the one. I was like, wow, that really is subtle. I mean, a mermaid in a bathtub. I was thinking like Madonna lived to tell, where she's wearing like a matronly gown and like her dress and... sort of just standing around being beautiful. I was like, okay, yeah, well, different definitions.
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah, and she's, like, singing, and that was, like, when she started to do, like, she did, like, the male version of herself, like, singing to herself on the piano. It's, like, she's, like, Taylor Kinney's, like, chain. She's, like, keeping her in captivity, right? Isn't that video? It's, like, you're right. There's nothing subtle about the video at all. It's,
no.
Like, it's, like, way over the top.
But I remembered, like, going into it, I read this great interview with her where she said, like, we're going to do this sort of, like, set in, like, cornfields and everything. And I was like, amazing. And then, like, 5 seconds of it was set in a cornfield. And the rest of it was, like, an S&M mermaid in a bathtub. And I was like, whoa, totally different concept here. I will say that how does that make you feel? The fact that the music took center stage, I think, really is a benefit, like, for that video. I think it's a benefit for you because the song is gorgeous and lush, and the video is very sexily produced in a way that emphasizes that without making me forget what I'm even listening to.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I wanted, you know, it's a song about sex, and it's a song about enjoying that. And it was important to me to make something that felt like it was almost for my own gaze, that it wasn't just like, I'm going to be in a video and I'm going to look sexy, that it had something else, and that there were themes going on, and that it was simple, so that you could hear the song. And so I'm glad that that was the case, because I think with a song like that, it's easy to kind of just go like all sex with it, and miss the point that it's about that, but it's about
Right. Well, it's definitely, you know, you mentioned very sexual activity in the song. I'm thinking of specifically of the ice reference, but it is about the fact that I think that when you boil it down, the message is very clearly defined as, I'm in control here. I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm getting your feedback. Like, what? How? Well, you know, I like doing this. How does that make you feel? How do you know? You're very in control. You are you're the HBIC there.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I don't know how well the song is affecting my personal dating life, but I guess we'll see. I'll keep it going.
Well, right. Well, music and entertainment is about fantasy. It's about projecting the version of yourself that at that time of performance that you want to be. I mean, as a drag performer, I 100% recognize that. When you said, send me your picture, your favorite baddest bitch or whatever look, that changes for me. Who is my idea of my baddest bitch changes every day. Some days I'm a dominatrix, and some days I'm a MILF, and some days I am, you know, the girl next door, whatever the case. Some days I'm a sexy fucking alien. I don't care. Like, whatever I want to be, that's what I am that day.
Yeah.
None of it's my reality.
Well, and I think, though, that, like, that, and the fact that, like, that changes for you every day is, like, your truth with it, right? So I'm not to use that word like that, but, like, I think that for some people, it doesn't change. Like, for some people, they're like, this is how I feel the hottest, the most empowered, the sexiest. And for some people, they're like, no, the fact that I am a chameleon or the fact that I can choose what I want to be is, like, your choice in it is what makes it so sexy and so fun. The fact that you're like, I can do what I want when I want. And if I want to be a MILF one day and if I'm an alien another day, like, that's on me because I'm equally hot regardless of, like, what I am, because it's really about the fact that it's you doing it. So, I mean, that's really something that, as a theme and as something I want to explore with myself and the people who listen to my music. I mean, I didn't really realize that was something I wanted to be talking about outside of the songs even until I had directed the video, which is why we had decided to kind of start talking about that on social media outside of just songs.
You had mentioned that because this is an EP, for listeners, that means it's an extended single, basically. There's multiple songs, but it's not as many as a full-length album. And you had mentioned that one of the reasons that you found that really helpful versus kind of focusing on a full-length debut album is that with each musical track, you are learning a little bit more about what resonates with your listeners, but presumably also a little bit more about what resonates with you as an artist. I think that for many new performers or newer performers, the idea of a full-length album can sometimes feel a little bit like a trap, I'm guessing, because you have to kind of pick and choose what you're going to present for this full body of work, and that can define you in ways that you might not want as an entertainer. And I was wondering if you could discuss that thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. That's a great kind of idea to talk about. I think especially now, it's like what you said before, people take artists in and songs. And, you know, with the way that people discover new music, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube or anything, or a song in a club, you know, if you're hearing people in 3 minute and 30 second kind of clips. And so the way I've always felt about it is, hopefully I am building to have a group of people that care about what I have to say enough to say, hey, you know what, we really would love an album from you. When is the album coming out? So I feel like I'm going to just put out songs, which is the best way for discovery. And ideally it would get to a tipping point where when you've built a big enough fan base that they'll want the album, and that you're really making an album for people who already care about you and who are invested in your artistry, rather than making it to, like, get new fans. For me, it's like what you're saying, where it really is a statement about who you are. So hopefully if I make an album, that's so people who already kind of know me get to know me better. But I think in terms of, like, building an audience, singles are the way that it is now, for better or for worse.
Right. And I think that it's very, you know, I think it's very smart in many ways, because one of the things that, having interviewed so many artists who are just beginning their career in many capacities, that when they put out a body of work, they may have so many different influences that they have to eliminate some of those, versus a single by single approach allows you to put out whatever you're feeling at the time, given especially that we know, having worked in this industry for a little while, that music changes very quickly, and the process by which one can relate or record an entire full-length album can take up to a couple of years, and by then you may not even be the same person who you were when you started writing some of those songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, if you do it, I mean, the way that I kind of approach things is I'm always making music in batches. I'm very rarely just like making one single and then like doing something else completely. Like I'm actually kind of coming to the end of the process of having been in the studio and making a group of songs. And so even though I'll release them as singles, I still was in like a head space and an emotional space where I was like writing for a while. I was also in promoting the EP and was fortunate enough to be touring and putting out other things while I was doing it. But I think that if you can do it right, I mean, it can be a little, it's a lot to do at once. You're kind of doing everything all at once. But if you can do it right, ideally, you know, you'd be putting out singles, but they still feel like they add up to a sound or a perspective. So if a fan, you know, discovers you on one song, but then hears these other singles you've put out, they feel like they're getting to know you better, rather than kind of feeling like they're getting confused as they hear more singles.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, what you're talking about is the expectations that an audience can build. You know, going back to, for example, Lady Gaga, I look at what she did, and as a longtime fan of hers, I was introduced to her by Martha. Martha represented her when she first started, by the way. Our girl. Definitely.
I love Martha.
Yeah, we all love Martha. Our listeners are starting to love Martha, because Martha comes on and she's our, like, our sassy Asian correspondent from New York. So, and our local power top, by the way. Just so you know, Ariana, she's a total power top.
You know, she told me about that. We're going to take her out.
So, but she, you know, with Gaga, like, I saw this such a divergence. That was probably Martha clicking over. She's biting her tongue right now in New York. But, you know, Gaga was so divergent in her sound that I felt lost. I felt lost as a listener, you know, as a longtime fan. And it was like,
yeah.
I think that with the, what you're doing, putting out batches of music, the progression becomes, the ease of the progression happens, because, you know, we get one sound maybe for four songs in a year or so, and then we get a little bit of something that's a little different, and it allows you to explore who you are as both an artist and a person through music, with people coming along for the ride without a year or two gap where people then may lose track of who you are.
Right, exactly. And it's crazy too, you know, with how fast everything moves. It's like, you don't want to go away for too long, because you want to be giving people something that feels like it's building and that they're always excited to be getting new stuff from you. So it's kind of a balance of feeding yourself enough artistically to make sure that you're putting quality out and that you really have something to say, but also, you know, not taking so much time that, like what you said, it's been 2 years or something since you put something out. But, I mean, for me, the goal is to be someone that can put out albums and have a fan base that wants those albums. You know, someone like, you know, Lana Del Rey or Sam Smith, who can, like, go away for a minute. And obviously those are huge examples. There's artists that aren't as much as the mainstream, I think, that can do that too. But for me, that's, like, that's the dream.
Right. And I saw that you mentioned, for example, like Robin and Kate Bush as major influences of yours at various times, and both of whom have such avid fan bases that even if they go away, they've got a fan base that's waiting for them to come back.
Right, exactly. And like, when, you know, Robin doesn't get played on the radio in the States, but like, it doesn't matter. Like, her fans love her, and her, like, she's been gone. I mean, she hasn't been anything out since, I guess the last thing she did with that EP was Roy Scott after everything was like Call Your Girlfriend and everything on it. But like, when she puts new music out, everyone's going to be right there. And for me, like, as an artist, to have fans that are just so excited about hearing what you've been doing, I think then that's really building something meaningful when you can kind of hop off the wheel of like time, of putting everything out so quickly. I think that's when, you know, you really build something that, you know, people care about.
Right. You're talking about the kind of interactivity that happens when fans invest in an artist. It's not, for example, the prime example from your experience would be how I invested in your bed. I loved the song, but I knew very little about you as an artist. It was a one-off thing for me. And now that I've got a greater body of work, I will be looking for your next release. You know what I mean? I'll be looking for what is next from you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. And I don't take any of that for granted. Like, someone would have heard my older stuff and then heard this stuff now and been like, wow, I'm actually really interested in that. Every single person that takes time to listen, there's so much entertainment out there. And there's so much really good entertainment out there. So anybody who takes time to listen to my music or see a show or watch a video, I think attention is so hard to have someone really want to say, hey, I want to spend 3 minutes of my day and care about what you have to say. I just never take any of that for granted. So thank you.
And you have upcoming events coming to New York and London, I read that. So tell us a little bit about what those events are.
Sure. I created an immersive event called Lightning Space, which is a combination of immersive theater and a live show, like a live concert and a party. So the whole thing is really just a really fun party that we do, which has two bars and a bunch of glitter and day glow. And my band is the house band. And we're partnering with some really cool DJs as well. So we're doing one in New York in November and then one in London in November as well. So we have a website called lightandspaceexperience.com. And if you go to that and put your email address in, that you're on the mailing list to get all the info.
Well, I am so glad that we had the opportunity to talk today. I'm excited to see what's forthcoming from you. And I love getting to see the fact that, I mean, come on now. I'm looking at the videos that you've released just from this EP alone, and we're talking in the millions of views for you. So things are certainly on an upswing, and I'm excited to see that happen for you. And I'm really grateful for your support of the community and taking time to talk to us today. And how can people find you on social media? I know that your Twitter is Ariana the Rose, and other social media that they can look for information about your Tumblr project and other events.
Yes, my Facebook page is facebook.com/ArianaAndTheRose, and my Instagram account is Ariana and the Rose. It's at Ariana and the Rose. And if you Google us, if you just Google Ariana and the Rose, it just all comes up. But our mailing list is also something that we send out, like, lots of treats and, like, free tickets. And I'm actually playing a show in New York City on September 12th, if anybody's around. And you can get tickets from our Facebook page as well.
Well, Ariana, thank you for talking today. I wish you the best of luck, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye. You guys, that's Ariana and the Rose. Go check out Ariana and the Rose on YouTube. Look specifically, we talked extensively about her tracks, How Does That Make You Feel, and Super Cool. I love Super Cool. It's very, very fun vibe. Check her out roller skating. It's amazing. And How Does That Make You Feel, so sexy. Incredibly sexy. Check her out on YouTube. You're listening to Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Almar, and we'll be back with more right after this. Party Foul Radio is brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine. Available online at liveleft.com, you can pick up your print copies throughout San Francisco's Castro District. Look for all of their entertainment, news, celebrity features, and beautiful photo pictorials to find out what's new, hot, and happening in the Northern California LGBTQ nightlife scene. That's Left Magazine, Jeff Kaluzny, David Helton, Left Magazine. Find out all about them and much more at liveleft.com. That's liveleft.com. All right, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We just heard from Ariana and The Rose, everybody. You guys need to go over to YouTube and check out Ariana's new single and video. It's called How Does That Make You Feel? It's all sexy and slow and seductive.
Yeah, you know.
And she's got a really pretty voice. She directed the video herself, so go check it out on YouTube. Show her some support. It came out just a couple of weeks ago, and as an independent musician, it's already got, like, over 250,000 views, so that's pretty good.
All right.
In a couple of weeks, so good for her. And check out all of her music. As we discussed in the interview, I've been a fan of hers since her single In Your Bed came out. And I'm also a fan of her song Super Cool. So go look her up on YouTube. It's Ariana and The Rose. She's the other Ariana girl.
The other Ariana.
The other Ariana. Anyway, I want to give a shout out if you guys happen to be a return listener, because our listeners around the world made last week a record week for us. I mean, it wasn't the biggest week we've ever experienced, but
it was another big week.
A huge week for us. We had almost 10,000 listens this past weekend alone. Over Memorial Day weekend, we got almost 10,000 listens between Friday and Monday. A huge part of that is because our interview with Anthony Bowens, the bisexual professional wrestler, became available on Huffington Post Queer Voices, and presumably because he's smoking hot, girl, like, people were really tuning in to hear what he had to say. So thank you, Anthony Bowens, for contributing. Thank you for being a friend of the podcast, and thank you, of course. I think it's very admirable that you would choose to come out in the world of professional wrestling. Even though
you're like down in the South, girl.
No, not Effie Gibbs. Not Effie Gibbs. Oh. Anthony Bowen.
Oh,
we've had two recent wrestling interviews. But Effie Gibbs. Effie is.
Effie White.
Oh, my God. What I was going to say is that even though we were just hearing from Effie Gibbs last week that the world of professional wrestling is, you know, definitely changing, Effie has been out his entire wrestling career.
Uh-huh.
Anthony stayed kind of on the DL.
Never.
And,
never.
And, I think that the reason we asked him, and the reason he said that that wasn't a big deal is because he wasn't dating anyone, male or female, at the time. So, kind of discussing his sexuality wasn't an issue because there wasn't anything to discuss. But then he met his little boyfriend, Michael, and they've been together over a year now. And so, yeah, once all of that started to blow up, he just came right on out, and now he is very open about his sexuality and his orientation in the world of professional wrestling. So it was a great interview. If you guys haven't listened to it, go scroll back a few episodes, look for Anthony Bowens, and take a listen. But it was a great week for us. I'm hoping, Pearl, that we find out this coming week that maybe we moved, we made some moves back into the top 10 or something on the automatic charts.
The top 10 talk shows? Yes, I would live.
Girl, that'd be fierce. we've done that a few times, and this could be another return for us, bitches. But thank you, wherever you are all around the world, for tuning in and listening. It is it's something certainly that we appreciate. And
if you haven't, go ahead and follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at Party Foul Radio.
Yes, girl, that is absolutely true. Follow us at Party Foul Radio. Of course, we have our nice little ads for all of our sponsors, but I want to give a quick shout out to one of our sponsors. Jesse Van Seal at Daddy's Barbershop has been really, really under the weather. They had to do like a procedure on one of his, on his chest, and drained over a liter of fluid from one of his lungs.
My little brother went through that.
It's scary. So you guys, keep our sponsor, he's not just our sponsor, he's my friend, Jesse Van Seal. He was Mr. San Francisco Leather 2012, and he is one of the co-owners of Daddy's Barbershop. Keep him in your thoughts, because his health has been a little bit precarious lately. I'm sure that you're on the mend, boo. And I know that they've got the Daddy's Barbershop leather competition coming up, with our friend Jeff Millard will be stepping down as Mr. Daddy's Barbershop soon. We'll let you know all about that. But I did want to mention that because, in other news, Arlen Lassiter From Daddy's Barbershop, happy birthday, sweetheart.
Happy birthday.
I saw that it was your birthday, and so happy birthday. And today, the 5th of September, when we're recording this, is actually my lifelong BFF, Jim Jarrell's birthday. So shout out to you over there, living the dream in New Jersey, bitch. So
you can live a dream in New Jersey,
girl. Apparently, you can live a dream in New Jersey. She bought a house in New Jersey. She's like got a job at some nice law firm in New Jersey. So she's got 1,800 dogs and has cocktails all by herself on weekends in New Jersey.
That does sound like the life.
Yeah, I knew that Pearl would really. Once I said the cocktails, Pearl was like, "Bitch, you're right."
And by herself, girl, yes.
Yeah, she makes like she's like, "Ooh, time for frozen margaritas or whatever." Ooh, some daiquiris up in the backyard, bitches. Yeah,
party of the year.
So, yeah. She's not very big on sharing her booze, so I know that you and Pearl have that in common, Jim, so...
Let's kick it, girl.
So, anyway, shout out to you, happy birthday, bitch, too. So, actually, right now, this time of year is, like, so many of my friends' birthdays. Like, I have countless friends who have birthdays between the last week of August and the first 2 weeks of September.
When
like,
is yours?
Mine is in January, so...
Oh, yours is coming up, too.
Girl, mine is months away. She's like,
we're
oh, yours is coming.
In September. That's, we're 3 months
October, November, December. Four months away. Girl, I'm not looking forward to that one. I'll be 45.
Girl, you will be 47.
This bitch is so stupid. She needs four more feet because she counts on her toes.
Whatever, bitch.
So she can't.
Quail is getting up there in age, y'all. We need to set her up with a man soon before she dies.
Whatever. Before I just drive right up, bitch.
She's already gonna die bitter. Let's make sure she doesn't die lonely.
Well, I mean, it's probably a done deal. I think that my flower has faded. I think my bloom has ruffled. It's like poof, just died right there, wilted on the vine.
Isn't that why you got it frozen and everything?
Oh my god. Oh wait, speaking of getting things frozen, bitch, I'm excited because when you're listening to this on Wednesday, I'm gonna be in. Seeing my friends at Laser Away Salon because I discovered that there's a part of my forehead that still moves, I'm getting it frozen again.
I heard that. I would be... What you need to do, bitch, is get a little extra because they made you come back.
Well, I'm sure I will... Like, I'm sure that I will be getting extra. I don't want to... Again, like, I'm going to have them do the areas around my eyes. I think I see the wrinkles right there the most, so...
Your crow's feet, yeah, they're there.
They are there. That's actually hard to remove. You can't really remove it. But this line on my forehead is completely almost gone away.
So they're hard to remove, but if you prevent them from coming in the first place.
Yes.
I need to get on that.
Yes. Things like, people don't understand why young people would get Botox. Botox is a preventative measure that, for example, like I had a line that was forming across my forehead. Well, if I had maintained Botox... That line would have never had an opportunity to form. Now it is very much decreased, but there's still a little hint of it. So I'm going to be going back to my friends at Laser Away. I'm going to be going to see Jeanette at Laser Away. And
I want to get Botox.
Well, sorry about it, bitch. So I'm gonna go and have it done, and I'll let you guys know next week. So I want to share... Two ridiculous stories. So first of all, one is very, very brief.
Okay.
Today, I was like running home I was coming back here to get ready for the podcast, but I was starving. So I stopped at a taqueria.
Wait, time out. What did you do to get ready? Because you're sitting here with no shirt on, some sweats.
I had to come in and let the dogs out and clean up this because I had makeup
clean
all.
Clean up what?
Well, I had to.
Where?
Okay. Where? Here. I got in drag right here in the studio, right at our recording desk. So this, I had to put all my makeup away because there was makeup. Anyway, I had to run home, but I was starving first. So I stopped in Glen Park to get a taco from the taqueria there. And I'm waiting in line behind this woman. What was that?
Taco in Glen Park? I've never heard.
Oh, it was delish and it's affordable. So anyway, so the woman in front of me gets to the cash register and the cashier says, "Is this for here or to go?" And the woman says, "Yes."
So much.
And meanwhile, I'm behind her, and under my breath, which I'm sure she heard, I was like, "Well, thanks for clearing that up." The woman, like, literally was like, is that for here to go? And she's like, yes. Fucking dumb.
I love it.
Dumb. Anyway, and then, so my friend Steven calls me. My friend Steven and I always trade new music. Today, I just sent him, what? Bitch is still...
I can't. I really want to answer it. Like, someone asked me this or that question, so I could just say yes.
Yeah, the woman was like 100 years old, but, and I will tell you this.
Not nice, so maybe that's what it is. Oh, it was just her age.
Well, she also startled the fuck out of me because she initially was behind me in line, but...
Somehow made it to the front. Right, well,
the thing was, so she walked in behind me, and I... You know how, like, you feel, like, a presence or something? Like, somebody's
watching you,
like, really close to you or whatever? Yeah. So, but I glance over my shoulder, and I didn't see anybody.
Because she's so little.
And then I looked down, and literally her head was, like, an inch above my ass. It was, like, she was so fucking small. But she, but not, like, a little person. Not like right. A little person. But just very short. And so then I was, like... thrown off because she was also standing real, real close to me. And then she slyly reached to get a stack of napkins to put in her purse and then somehow ended up in front of me in line. But anyway, I was like, God bless her. So anyway, then my friend Steven and I always share new music together. And I, like for today, I sent him the Zoe Badawi song, Release Me, which is like iconic by her. One of my favorite, one of my all-time favorite dance singles. And I shared with him Bad For Us by Superfruit and, mm-hmm. like, whatever. So we were talking on the phone right before Pearl arrived. And he was sharing with me this story that I thought was absurd, but I'm going to share it with you guys. So he went to the dentist recently. And when he was coming home from the dentist, he gets off BART at 16th and Mission.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you who are not from the Bay Area, 16th and Mission is a notorious corner because... it's in the middle of, like, an area that's got a lot of people who are, like, homeless mm-hmm. or a lot of people who, like, straight up doing drugs right there at the Muni station or the BART station or whatever. It's just kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes up and he sees this couple, which look like they're strung out on something, some kind of drugs or whatever. Like, the guy's making one of those, like, will work for food type of signs or uh-huh. whatever. The girl was, like, spinning around, just, like, dancing to no music or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And then here, and they have a huge pit bull with them.
Okay.
Like, it's sad, but you guys, like, every homeless person in San Francisco has, like, 5 pit bulls. So, anyway, so this other woman, who also, according to him, looks like she might have been on some kind of drugs, comes, like, walking up to the couple. And the woman says, and Steven hears her, "Can I pet your dog?" So... the people are like, "Sure, you can pet the dog." So the woman she's all like strung out looking. She bends over to pet the dog. And somehow, in the course of bending over, her false teeth fall out of her mouth.
Oh, shit.
And the dog ate them.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, no, that poor woman.
So her teeth fall out, and while Steven is watching, after coming from the dentist, right?
I can't.
The fucking dog eats the woman's teeth, just like, and you know, it's a pit bull, it's done. Right. You're not going to be like, "Give those back!"
Right.
It was done, and I would have gagged to see this, but...
I can't.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
My heart would have fell straight out of my ass, girl.
Right onto her dentures, bitch. Right. And then the dog would have eaten both of them.
Too, right.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
No.
Girl, first of all, what condition do you have to be in that you let your teeth just fall out?
You know, sometimes it happens, especially if your dentist is not that great of a dentist. I have a coworker who... was going through that, and they had to make her a second set because the first people that did it did such an awful job.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that they can become loose, you know, they can fit loose, or sometimes they fit too tight, and that's really painful or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's what she was going through.
But
even then, when they're too tight, they can pop out.
Well, presumably because your teeth are the equivalent of a roll of biscuits, bitch. All of a sudden, it's like, boop!
Right, girl. And then they're out of your mouth, and it's a dog.
Oh my God, girl. So if you are a toothless lady down in the mission,
We feel for you,
we
boo.
We feel for you, boo. We feel for you.
Oh.
All right, you guys. That on those notes, it's almost time for us to go, you guys. I'm Poet Almar. You can follow me on Twitter at TheGlamazonPDM, as in Poet Almar, TheGlamazonPDM. Are you going to announce yourself, bitch?
I thought you were going to add more. So, yes. And I'm Pearl Tease. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and Twitter, at Pearl Tease. That's Pearl, T-E-E-S-E. No porno, honey.
All right. And this is Party Foul Radio. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Party Foul Radio.
Follow us.
Follow us, bitches. Meanwhile, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more fabulous entertainment, news, gossip, and humor. We're glad you joined us.
Bye.
Girl, you better work.
Work. It's over. Work. It's over. Work. It's over. Work. It's over. She's the one.